time, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married, and for Pete I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, 'cause he was an angel. One taught me love, one taught me patience, and one taught me pain.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Thank you, Noah.
And thank you, Mona, for joining me on this lovely Saturday night.
It is a lovely Saturday night, and I'm feeling very thankful tonight. One thing I'm thankful for is it is my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my dad, a loyal listener of this show. Always providing his insight and comments and questions. We're very grateful for him.
Very grateful. So wonderful.
I wonder what our theme is.
It is potatoes and their glory.
Potatoes. Sounds,
in honor of Thanksgiving, we're talking about potatoes.
Okay.
Their multifaceted appeal.
Potatoes are very interesting.
They're my favorite food.
Really?
Yeah.
Every day at DeWick, there's multiple varieties of potatoes and pasta.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like we haven't had, people are like, it's Thanksgiving, we have to be all fancy, we can't just have french fries. And I'm like, I could really just use some french fries every time I walk into DeWick.
Really?
And they're like, oh, roasted potato with a mustard sauce. And I'm like, I don't need that.
I like the fancy potatoes.
It's fun.
I don't love them. I guess I feel like they're
overrated.
Overexposed. What's the word?
Overvalued.
We just have too much of them.
Oh,
I would
like
them if they were rarer. Like, I always have them at late night, like with sandwiches when you go to restaurants. Mm-hmm. There's always like with any meal at a restaurant, it's like, do you want french fries? And I'm like, not really. But then you feel weird being like, no, I'll have a salad. So it's like, okay, fine. I'll have
They're kind of like the universal, like, solvent.
Yeah.
Just how, like, water is.
Interesting.
Sorry, some chemistry stuff. I am supremely thankful for potatoes, but unfortunately, listeners, who we are thankful for, we are not talking about potatoes. We are actually talking about things we're thankful for, the concept of thankfulness, mm-hmm. what it can... Is there value in talking about things you're not thankful, for? Who knows? You'll find
out. We'll also find out. We don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Answers.
We're not... Well, because thanks, scientists.
What I was talking to Noah about is that a lot of research shows that expressing gratitude is really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who write down 10 things they're thankful for a day have just, like, better mental health, better physical health. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, the results are, like, kind of crazy. Like, mm-hmm.
Just across the board, your life is
better. Just across the board, your life is better if you are talking about what you're thankful for. But so then the question becomes, how do we discuss things we're not thankful for? Like, I feel like that research implies that talking about things you're not thankful for could be bad for your health.
It's certainly not as good as talking about things you're thankful for.
So, like, do we just need to reframe the things we're not thankful for into things we are thankful for? Like, I'm thankful for the fight that is occurring against... you know, the climate crisis, as opposed to I'm not thankful for the climate crisis. What do you think, Noah?
I definitely think the answer is not bottling up your emotions.
Of course.
I think it's difficult to sort of pretend, like, if you have to consciously think of things that you're not thankful for and then consciously be like, how can I reframe this? I feel like it doesn't achieve the same effects as, like, being... Because then it's not, like, a genuine thing. It's like I'm intentionally trying to be thankful. Mm. Which maybe still does have value and lets you reframe the situation and see it in a better light. Because it is valuable to be thankful for people who are fighting against climate change. And I wasn't thinking about that until you're like, I'm not thankful for climate change, but I am thankful for this other thing. So I think there's a value in that exercise of being like, what are the bad things in my life, but what's making them better?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I'm not positive about the research. My guess is the research would support that reframing. Because I think if you just sit and are like, well, here are the things I'm not thankful for, the list is endless. And then it becomes kind of like, okay, well, where do you
this
go from
pessimistic
there?
Yeah, like session. Pessimistic.
Where it's not like you're saying, I don't know, I feel like saying I'm thankful for the fight against the climate crisis, at least in my mind, isn't diminishing the climate crisis. Like, it's not minimizing it. Mm-hmm. It's, like, choosing to focus on the work that's being done, if that makes sense.
I do have an objection to this whole path, because my boyfriend likes to call and just vent to me about frustrating things in his day. And sometimes I will be like, well, maybe you're not, like, maybe have more good faith and, like, see that maybe people didn't mean it this way. And so, like, we can interpret it more nicely. And he's like, I don't want that.
Yeah,
I just want to vent.
Fair.
And, like, at the end of venting, he's like, thank you. That really helped me. Mm-hmm. I, like, feel like I'm past it. And, like, me being like, no, let's be thankful for this. Or, like, come on, don't be so mad at this is counterproductive and not useful and can even get him more worked up.
That's so true.
And so I do think, and maybe, and isn't venting just like saying things you're like, obviously you're not like, I'm not thankful for this, but it's like, you're like, I'm mad that this happened. I'm frustrated by this. I wish this hadn't happened. It's like effectively the same thing as like things in your day you weren't thankful for.
I'm curious where, I don't know, I'm sure there's research done on this. Like, I'm curious where the kind of line, like, where it shifts from being a healthy vent, because mm-hmm. I totally agree that that's, like, a very true. And I often am, like, frustrated by the pressure to kind of act as though every, you know, to put a positive mm-hmm. frame on things. And sometimes I'm like, what if I just don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, what if I just want to vent? But I'm, like, when does that turn into kind of a pessimistic attitude? Like, what's the, I mean, obviously there's no way to quantify that, but I don't know, how have they kind of, I don't know, I'm curious.
Well, now I'm looking up, I'm trying to find some scholarly articles about, like, venting.
It must have some, well, apparently the idea of catharsis has been disproven, which I find interesting. Like, the idea of, like, letting out your anger and then you'll feel less angry is false.
Does your life experience agree with that hypothesis or with that conclusion?
My life experience has shown me that I tend to bottle up my anger and then let it out all at once in a very extreme, inappropriate manner, and that doesn't help. So if I were to express it, you know, in a more timely and subtle manner, I feel like that would be better. But I feel like catharsis implies a large release, right? Doesn't catharsis kind of imply letting it all out?
Yeah.
So in my experience, letting it all out, quote unquote, has not been great because, like, you need to have stuff to let out, which means you're kind of bottling it up. Whereas just, like, dealing with it as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What about you?
Catharsis. Yeah, I think definitely catharsis is more like after something is built up for a long time. I don't think you can really have much catharsis for something that, like, hasn't been hitting you hard.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, takes this, like, long-term sort of, like, low-grade stress that, like, slowly eats you up, and then you, like, let it all go all at once. And, yeah, I definitely think that's probably not very useful because it's difficult. I think it can be a turning point and, like, a big catalyst for change, but I don't think it fixes the problem. And I think that's a lot of, like, venting and talking about things very rarely fixes the problem. It can help you to reframe things, which can help fix the problem, but I feel very often it's just sort of, like, it's more a band-aid on problems of the past than, like, any type of antidote or any type of cure.
I think that's very true.
This article says, which I'm critical of, written by SAGU, a Christian University Education, online or on campus. But it says, as a matter of fact, I don't know if it's a fact, positive venting can reduce stress, but negative venting can lead to a heightened stress and physical health concerns.
Okay, what's positive venting versus negative venting?
It's not just about the person venting, but equally important, the person who is hearing the vent.
Ooh.
Research has shown that the difference between positive and negative venting can be focused on the ways in which the person hearing the vent responds,
Ooh.
Both through speech and action. So it talks about active listening, empathy, a safe environment. This is really short. Don't be a bad listener. So, like, actually listen. Make sure you're not, like, planning responses. Make sure you're just purely listening. I don't think this is a terrible article. It's super short.
Okay.
Inconclusive.
Okay. Thank you, SAGU.
Sorry. All too many times we bypass empathy and try to place a silver lining over the situation. We say things like, it's not that bad, it could be worse, or at least it's not as bad as this. These phrases show a lack of empathy and inadequate listening. Instead, use phrases like, I am sad that happened to you. I wish that I could change this, or I'm here for you. Sympathy is focused on feeling sorry for the person. Empathy validates a person's feeling. Sympathy does not acknowledge the feelings involved. Empathy is active. Sympathy is passive.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
Right? The differences between sympathy and empathy?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that's interesting, because now I'm, like, contradicting myself, because I do feel like what we were talking about earlier with reframing into a positive runs the risk of turning into sympathy, because things like, it could be worse than at least blah, blah, blah. One could be like, well, that's reframing it. That's not how I was thinking about reframing at all in any way. But that's a good point, that can be kind of devalidating.
Yeah. Invalidating.
Is, oh. Huh. Yeah. Okay, sad.
English is tricky.
I hate English. Ugh, tragic.
I'm not Have thankful for the complexities of the English language.
Have you seen the video, the sympathy versus empathy video?
I don't think so.
It's like a little animated video where there's like a little bear in a cave and he's like sad, and like sympathy is like this other animal like looking down into the hole, like
being like, oh, that's looking, sad.
Yeah, he goes, that's like too bad. Here, want a sandwich? Will that make you feel better? And the bear is like sad. And then in the empathy one, the rabbit like comes down the ladder and like hangs out with him there and is like, like, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like very cute.
There's like a sort of commiseration.
Yeah.
I feel like that's sort of maybe not common sense, but like, I know.
We should have
be there with your friends.
Noah, we should have an empathy episode. Because empathy is so interesting in the context of social justice issues.
Yeah.
Because it's like, can you empathize with an experience
that you have never remotely?
I have a hypothesis that I haven't looked up to see if
maybe
it's
in
like
your psych lab you can test this.
I know, no, I would like to. My hypothesis is that the experience, like, the feeling of empathy helps you to see that you are not
experiencing
the same thing. Like, the experience of empathy helps you to see the, like, you know, power and privilege differential. So when when people are like, well, you know, so in this kind of person could never understand this kind of experience, don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see where that perspective is coming from, and it's coming from a really valid place. But I think that just in my experience, when I've tried to understand how someone else has been feeling, like when I've tried to use my own experience and I felt that emotion, then I've been like, oh my God, if I felt this emotion about this experience, you know, I can only imagine / I can't imagine what that emotion is like in this context.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. We've had this conversation before.
Oh,
I think
we have.
And yeah, I think it's really true.
Okay, sorry, listeners.
No,
I'm in defense of empathy. I don't think that you need to get rid of empathy in order to be like aware of your, you know, social positioning.
Yeah. I think the problem there is when people are being like just sympathetic and they're like, oh, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I like really feel for you and like I know how hard that
that's,
is.
That's like fake empathy.
And then it's like, you don't know how hard it is. Maybe just refrain from, I think it's like, say things that are genuine but are also like not invalidating or reductive to other people, and like recognize that other people can have had experiences that are much worse than you will, probably because of a lot of systemic oppression and intersectionality. And it's not your fault, and it's not a bad thing to not have had their experiences, but like, also don't try to equate that you've had those experiences.
But it's also interesting though, because I was having a conversation with one of my friends who is an immigrant, and I like am a child of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we were having this kind of serious discussion, and I was kind of like, obviously like aware that like, you know, she was an immigrant, and I was, and I kept kind of being like, oh, you know, but like, I go, oh my God, like, and she was like, they're just different. Not one is not, you know what I mean? She was
more
like, one
or less,
is not more or less valid than the other. She said they're just different experiences. And I was like, I do also feel like, I feel like people feel like under a lot of pressure to minimize their own experiences, because they're like, well, other people are going through so much worse things. And like, again, it's hard because some experiences just are worse than others. But also it's hard, like, I feel like it's unhealthy for everyone when people are like comparing traumas and comparing oppressions, and like, that's just like a slippery slope. So it's like just respecting the differences, and that those differences can have a range of consequences, but that putting down one's own, just, I don't know, it's a tricky area.
Yeah, it's a tricky area.
It's a, like, it's hard. I don't know. I've read, it's weird, like, I was in a class where like one reading was like, you know, it was written by like a black female educator, and it was like, you know, like, don't compare oppressions, like, people, you know, everyone's oppression is blah 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 blah. Then we read another article that was like kind of the opposite, that was like, you know, some some forms of oppression are just objectively a lot worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we start categorizing and, like, having a hierarchy of oppression, then it, I just, I don't know, is that, I don't know.
I mean,
do you have the answers, Noah?
Well, I think there's, like...
Do you have the answers to that?
I mean, in conservative discourse, there's this, like, idea that there's, like, this oppression Olympics. That's, like, a term that's used that's, like...
Really?
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad people, like, do not, like, expose themselves to this, like, disgusting discourse that exists. That's just very toxic and invalidating. And they're, like, all liberals on college campuses are just trying to have the most oppression because oppression equals value. Like, if you're an oppressed person, then, like, your voice has value. And it's, like...
What?
It's like, well, oppressed people have value when they talk about, like, their experience of oppression, and, like, we should, like, not be like, well, I haven't had this experience, but I don't think it's real. And it's,
yeah,
like, maybe we should defer
weird.
To people who have experience. It's kind of a mess. But, I mean, I think, like, yeah, like, comparing oppression, it's not, like, math. There's no objective way to measure, like, people's emotional duress from something. But I think it also is very valuable to be like, somebody, like, dropped their ice cream on the ground versus, like, somebody is being tasked with, like, systemic oppression. Which one should we take care of first?
But that's why, I liked that, you know, like, the friend I was talking to, she didn't say to me, oh my god, like, no, don't even worry about it, like, we're all the same. She said it's just different. Like, she you know, it is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the problems come when people are like, no, I'm also oppressed, therefore we're the same.
Yeah.
So I feel like, but I feel like problems also come when people are like, well, my oppression is worse than yours. It's like, okay. So that's why I like
people just
her framing of it is just like different experiences that have this, I don't know.
People, it's weird. I feel like people are just like competitive, especially people who like don't have as much experience in something. People are more inclined to be like, no, I really do know. But I think that's like this phenomenon is like people who know the least about things
want to talk about it,
want to know the most. I think people definitely don't want to feel like other people. I think a lot of people say the world is at its whole more or less just, and like if the world is unjust, my worldview kind of falls apart. It doesn't work if the system is all working okay and it's unjust. So, like, in order for my worldview to be coherent and to be just, like, forms of oppression, like, some people can't be exposed to forms of oppression based on, like, their identity, because otherwise there's, like, a problem with the system.
Yep.
And so people are like, yeah, I understand that experience, but, like, I too could have these experiences because it's just kind of luck and, like, the fate of the world, and there's no systemic causes for these things. Because if you are like, oh, wow, like, your experience is legitimately terrible, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that, and we need to make change
then,
to, like, prevent that from happening.
Changes your worldview.
I think if you understand others' oppression and, like, you have empathy and you're, like, a human being who, like, wants other people to not feel terrible or, like, to have very negative experiences, then, like, you are forced into action.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least forced to, like, probably not feel guilt, but, like, feel like your life, this is now something you just have to keep in mind when, like, other people are being happy. You're like, yes, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, yesterday I said, this one goes out to my dad on his birthday. Yesterday I said to one of my friends, I said, and now for something completely different, which is something my dad always says. And he said, Monty Python. And I said to this guy, I was like, what? He was like, isn't that a Monty Python reference? And I was like, is it? I thought it was just like a saying my dad said. My friend was like, I think it's a Monty Python reference.
I could not say.
Maybe my dad will chime in. Happy birthday, father. But what I was going to say is, and now for something completely different, I have a song that is... Oh, do you also have a song?
I also have a song, but your song, fine. I'm sure, is...
No, my song is like, and now for something completely different. My song is about thankfulness, but it's whack. Let's just listen to it.
Yeah, put it
Wait,
on
what's
first.
What's your
order.
Song though?
Maybe we can finish with it.
Okay.
It's more just an In My Feels song.
Oh, okay.
Mine, but like,
mine is
I'm
like
so
funny.
Thankful for it that
okay.
I just yeah.
Let me. I have to find it.
Do 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 do
oh,
do.
Oh, I found it. Okay, should I play it?
Go for it, Mona. Oh, I should probably turn on the audio.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without the song? Goodness, what are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. Mother says I was a dancer before I could walk. She says I began to sing long before. I am the girl with golden hair. I wanna sing it out to everybody. What a joy, what a life, what a chance.
Thank you for the music, the songs.
That song makes me laugh every time. It's Thank You for the Music by ABBA, and I love ABBA. But this song is just about this girl who's so thankful for her talent, and that she's good at singing. So, well, you know, again, speaking of like blurred, you know, I don't want to say blurred lines because that's like that weird song. But like, you know, of like, you know, questionable, like,
mm-hmm.
Where do we go from self-confidence and like gratitude for yourself to vanity,
yeah,
and self-absorption? It's mm-hmm. like these are hard because it's like, you know, I feel like we get so many mixed messages. We get like, be confident in yourself, you're the best, individualism, you're amazing, and then we get like, be humble, like, you know, don't toot your own horn, mm-hmm. like, so it's like, what do you do?
I went to here on campus one of Tish's Distinguished Speaker Series.
Is that the one where you have the cute picture of you raising your hand?
Did they post a picture?
Yeah, didn't you see
Mona, I have no social media.
No, it was in a group chat that you're in.
Oh.
It was on an iMessage group chat.
Mona, these group chats produce a million messages a day.
Yeah, but one of them was a picture of you.
That's adorable. Wait, now I want to find it.
Yeah, well, I'll find it for you while you talk. Talk about it.
And Eric Holder Jr., one of the attorney generals under Obama, was here. And he said, something that I think is not great is how everybody's been told that anyone can be anything. Because, like...
Wait, you think what he said wasn't great, or he said something
that has not been great in American culture is, like, telling everyone they can do anything, because, like, I would be an NBA player and not, like, a lawyer if that were true. And he was like, if you're bad at physics, maybe don't do physics. And I'm like, ooh, sometimes I feel real bad at chemistry, but we're doing it anyway. So, I mean,
there's a picture.
Oh, Tufts
University posted it.
Wow.
And then Caitlin Colino wrote, look at Noah glowing while being civically engaged. Aren't you in this group chat?
I think so. Is it lactose intolerant?
Yeah.
I am. Wow.
You missed your...
I missed so many things. Well, I'm thankful that people are looking out for me.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
And, I mean, I think it's true. Like, we should be... thankful, but also, like, very cognizant of, like, the talents and the fortunes that we have, and, like, we should pursue those things. It was kind of like, do what you're good at, which is, like, a little bit, but also, like, things are skills, and you can get better at them, and you're not set in any one path. You can always, like, still change, and, like, you can really enjoy things you're bad at, and then do them a lot, and then you'll be good at them.
And you can not like things you're good at and, you know, feel like you have to do them because you're good at them.
Yeah, that was my point of contention. Was like, I mean, people should do the things that they like, not the things... That's my goal for the world. Is like, people do things that they like and not things that they're good at and make the money.
Mm-hmm. Didn't I say that cute quote last week? Ask not what the world needs. Ask what makes you feel alive. Because the world needs more people who are alive. That was, like, dramatic, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you have one life. Yeah. The world doesn't care.
It's interesting because I've been teaching piano lessons this semester. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, a lot of kids. It's, like, group piano lessons. And the teacher at the beginning, like, the main teacher at the beginning was saying how, like, some of the kids, like, they will just, like, not get it, not get it, not get it, not get it, and then suddenly get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sounds fake, but okay. And even in my, like, short, you know, I've only been working there this semester, and, like, today, this kid who, like, never pays any attention has been on, like, you know, the second song the whole semester.
Yeah.
Suddenly just played it. And I was like...
You did it.
You did it. And then I was like, okay, now do the next one. And then he just kind of, like, did it. And I was like, what? And, like... the teacher said there's kids who he just would have pegged from the beginning. He would have been like, yeah, this kid's never going to get past, you know? And then they're the ones who keep at it and then get better.
I had piano lessons for, like, 12 years of my life. And for a long... I, like, started out and I, like, got to a level and I just kind of stuck there. But then eventually I guess it worked and I was able to, like, really move on to, like, some higher level pieces and, like, I'm so thankful that, like... Like, and as a kid, I was like, oh, it's piano lesson time.
Yeah.
Ugh. But, like, I would do it. And so, now that I have the, like, skill and, like, can play these pieces, and I'm like, these pieces are so evocative and so beautiful, and I love playing them. I haven't played it in a while, I feel like. Maybe I can no longer play them.
That's so but true.
I know. I think... So, thank you to everyone who's... help me learn piano.
Yeah, and wait, I had the same experience where I played piano. I liked it, but I never was like... And then I always, even at the end of high school, I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it until the end of high school. Mm-hmm. And then in college, I'm like, never going to touch it. And sure enough, last year, I never touched it. Like, was like, that's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then this summer, I just like started playing again. And I was like, wait, I can like play these songs? What? And then I've been torn because I didn't practice a lot ever. Mm-hmm. And on the one, I'm torn because I'm like, if I had practiced, I'd be able to play.
Think about what
better.
I could do. Yeah.
But I'm also like, I kept it at a level where like level isn't like practice level, like mm-hmm. where I was able to just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, like, if I had like forced myself to practice, or someone had forced me to practice,
it would have not been enjoyable.
I wouldn't have liked it,
and then you wouldn't have done it. Yeah.
So it's like that trade off. But I'm like, I don't know.
Maybe
like,
this goes back to our lesson on parenting and childhood.
Yeah.
Encourage your kid, but don't force them.
Yeah.
Because people doing things that they're forced to do generates like hostility and resentment. Mm-hmm. But like, people will entertain doing something that like they don't love, but they don't dislike, for long enough to maybe grow very appreciative.
Yeah.
And to develop a lot of value and thankfulness.
Listen, because it's his birthday, we gotta shout out my dad. Because my dad really had... I'm always in awe. He just, like... He is so good. And my mom, too. I love you, Mom. Like, he's so good at striking that balance of, like, he's always encouraged and recommended and guided me and my brother. But, like, he's never forced us. And so we end up taking him so much more seriously. Because when he says something, we're like, yeah, he's giving us, like...
Giving us advice.
And if we don't take it, we don't take it. And he's like, okay, you didn't take it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that's... It's your life.
Being real with you.
We're more likely to take it and to, like, take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, he should start a podcast. He should come on the show.
I was thinking...
Wait, we should have, like, a parent... show. That'd be so fun.
All my parents drive up from Delaware.
That would be so funny.
We'll see.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe I'll have them call in.
If we could ever figure out how to...
Or I'll have them call my
phone,
hold it up to the microphone. Audio quality,
amazing. That would honestly
amazing.
Be easier.
Truly, truly.
Oh my god, wait, what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Maybe thank you.
About the piano. It was back to the piano.
I think I the know. Way you play the piano is nice.
A terrific musical.
Everybody needs to see You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Everyone
I can't tell you
me.
Where it's on or how to get tickets.
I love that
but
musical.
Google
I'm
it. I'm sure
it.
It's playing somewhere
thankful
near you.
Show.
I'm thankful
Wait,
for the
I'm
show,
so
too.
I feel like I had like a break, not a breakout epiphany, but I was going to say something deep about playing the piano. Now I like... Something about practicing.
Memory is a finicky thing.
Literally. Truly. Oh, I remember it. It was pretty deep.
Let's hear it.
I'm glad I remembered it. I do remember, though, when I had this feeling of like, oh, I'm so grateful I can play the piano. I was like, gosh darn it. I was going to say something else. I was like, oh, no. That's like such a sign of like adulthood. Because you know how adults always say to you, when you're a kid, they're like, kid, I quit the piano and I regret it every day. Or alternative, they're like, kid, I stuck with the piano and I'm so happy I can play. It's like a very like adult mm-hmm. thing to feel.
Because it's only something that can come with age and time.
And I'm like, how am I already there? I feel like I'm too young to have this feeling.
And the defining line for adulthood is, do you enjoy the piano?
Are you grateful for your piano experience / regretful that you didn't have the experience? Like, that's such a big one.
Or like soccer or baseball. I feel like those
really?
Are the three. Piano,
like
soccer, and baseball, that's the things like parents make kids do. And they either stick with it or they hate it.
Also,
and then,
speaking a second language, especially if it's your like quote unquote native language, that's a big one in like... the loose
I'm so thankful or I'm so
or
not thankful.
Usually it's you. When I was a kid, so many adults would say to me, yeah, I told my mom to stop speaking, you know, in this case Persian, to me, and I regret it so much, blah 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 blah. But I don't know where that line is.
My whole AP comp exam, one of the essays that we had to write on the like AP exam was this like, is being monolingual or multilingual better? And like,
for comp sci?
For comp 11. Everybody calls it AP Lang. AP Language and Composition.
My school
called it AP Comp. It was the English.
Oh, the English.
One of the English APs.
Wait, what was the question?
It was like, I took it sophomore year. I don't know if you...
My school didn't offer it.
Oh. It was like, So it was a question where you had to like read a bunch of different articles and then like synthesize it into like an argumentative essay. And like five of the articles were like, being multilingual is extremely valuable and makes you better in every single possible way. Yes. And like you gain so much. And then two were like, it's so much work. And it was like,
what?
It was like, they clearly wanted you to write the argument that like
it was better.
How it's better. And so it was like an easy essay. But like,
that's so annoying. Like, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I was like, there are very few arguments that
against
say
it.
Against it.
It literally allows you to think in like new ways and just improves. Yeah. It just,
I mean, same with
it's just like
an
being thankful and like saying the things you're thankful for. It just makes your life better in every single way.
Yeah, that's a big one. And the piano is a big one too.
Yeah.
The piano is a big one that like has just these. It is interesting though. It's so funny because I'm in this sociology class where like, again, sociology is so weird. Sometimes it's really deep and then sometimes I'm like, what are you saying? Like, sometimes, like, once he was like, I mean, like, the way things are worded, like, you know, parents now with the pressure to, what was it? Oh my gosh.
Like, make their kids.
No, with the pressure of attachment, like physical like physical tactile touch.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the professor worded it was something was like, you know, with the societal pressure to always be cuddling your child, this has XYZ effect. And I was like, I mean, it's not like some random peer pressure thing. Like, I mean, it
people
is
enjoy
studied.
Like holding their child.
Also, it's not like, I mean, like the, again, it's the way, I mean, that's just like the lens of the field, but like things are always worded as if everything is just like some random societal pressure. And I'm like, yes, there's societal pressure in things, but sometimes they come from like pretty legitimate, like the,
I mean, isn't,
you know,
wasn't there this experiment
like the
on
monkey
monkeys
experiment.
And
yeah,
they like go to the soft even though it's so sad,
it's
they
so
took
sad.
These baby monkeys
I
from their mothers
experiment.
And they replaced them with
so
one was replaced
it's
with like
so sad.
A soft doll that was supposed to mimic the mother, and the other one was like
a
this
sad robot.
It was
so upsetting.
And all of the babies went for this soft nurturing mother,
even though the soft
even though it didn't have food.
Have food, they would rather have that
comfort
than
the scary robot with food.
And I was like, again, yeah, I mean, the point he was making was good. The point he was making was that for mothers who work, they feel a lot of, like, guilt. For not being able to be the one to, like, hold the child. And I was like, very true, very good point. But again, it's not like this is some random, like, conspiracy theory. And he says that with so many things, and I'm like, sir, what about the research? Oh my god, Noah, the incest conversations we've had are so whack. He was like, his stance is that, yes, we will do a PSA, Noah.
Okay, so, good, good, good.
Yes, you get it ready while I say this. We kept having these heated debates about, again, his claim is that it's not his claim, it's the theorists we read, but like, I just have trouble believing that he would present any of this ludicrous material if he didn't somewhat believe it, but like that incest taboo is a societal organizer more so than a genetic issue. And I was like, but what about the genetic evidence? Like, there's literal research. And he was like, I was like, don't you think maybe that the societal the societal organization is a result of the genetic issues? He was like, no, these theorists would say that the genetic evidence just supports the societal organization because in the Middle Ages, blah, 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 incest was like totally chill and like a way to gain power. And I'm like, yeah, but they didn't know about the genetic stuff then. You have no words. You have no,
no
words.
No words. This is uncomfortable.
This was a crazy class. It was interesting though because it did show me how, I mean, it's an interesting experiment in like the social construction of knowledge, and like, you know, we do understandably take the incest taboo very seriously, and it was interesting to be like, well, why do we take it seriously other than just, you know, obvious reasons? But to get behind those obvious reasons was very interesting. Okay,
this
on
is
that note,
WMFO presents Next Trip to the River.
Oh, is it a play?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Tweet, tweet, ha ha ha. Woof, woof. Welcome back. How was the trip to the river?
Oh, it was just fantastic.
Lucky you. not being around for all of that rain.
It sure looked like a lot of runoff. Anyways, I've got to get going. Let's catch up soon.
Sounds good. Woof. Jingle of collar.
Hey, wait. You've got to make sure you pick that up.
Really? But no kids play in this part of the neighborhood, and it's decomposable, isn't it?
True, but all of that rain and stormwater runoff will pick up things like fertilizer, pesticides, trash, and dog waste, which will go down the nearest drains and waterways and end up in streams, lakes, and rivers.
Make sure you pick up dog waste to keep bacteria out of our water. We want to keep it swimmable and potable. Wouldn't want Buddy putting a damper on your next trip to the local river. Woof, woof. Brought to you by the Mystic River Watershed Association.
I need to take a closer look at this. What?
Make sure you pick up your dog waste. It definitely can make its way into our water systems and pollute the groundwater that we have.
Noah, the one on the page after this was... Did you see the one on the page after this?
Yeah. Why would I want to talk about crossing the road safely when I could talk about picking up dog waste?
This is so much more serious.
Mona, we just got to act out a PSA.
Yeah, that was... This one says a potentially life-saving message from WMFO. Whereas this one says, woof, woof. Chirp, chirp.
I would like to say it gives sound effect suggestions, and I felt it enhance the PSA.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like the...
I hope people
could understand that it was about dog waste from all the barking, and like, you're going to pick that up, right? And it's like, I don't understand what's going on here. There needs to be some visual media.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious, like, whether they sat down and were like, ah, let's write this so that some college students can act out the sound effect.
I think it's probably pre-recorded somewhere, and you can, like, play an official version.
Then why would they have the script? Oh, so that you can read the script?
I don't know. I don't know,
I need
Mona.
I need to know who wrote why. It's so funny.
But serious, also.
Really? But no kids play in this part of the neighborhood. What difference does that make?
I mean, because kids aren't going to step... Like, if kids are going to step in it, and if it's going to be messy,
what if,
then people are like...
adults are going to step in it? I just want to see the...
The people who made it.
I'm curious about the scene analysis.
You can email the Mystic River Valley Association.
Like, how was the
Watershed
trip to
Association.
That river? Oh, it was just fantastic.
Go out and see your local rivers.
No, but does anyone talk like this?
My friends do, Mona.
No, they don't. No, you don't even pay attention.
We're not adults,
to your
Mona.
Friends.
We don't understand what adult conversation is like.
We are adults because we've passed the point where we're happy we played the piano.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm thankful that we're adults. I don't know if I'm thankful for that.
I'm not thankful.
I'm not thankful.
Have we resolved the core issue of tonight, would you say?
Yeah, I feel like we went into a really interesting tangent. I liked it.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, I'm curious now. I'm curious about this research. Like,
I think we should, here's my take. I think we should play a song.
I know, I really want
to
play a song.
That I'm very thankful for.
I'm really thankful for it.
And then for the last 10 minutes of this episode, we should just say we should stay on topic, and we should just say as many things that we're thankful for as possible.
Okay, interesting.
And I think all of our listeners should join us, and just everybody in the world just start saying things they're thankful for.
I feel like we could last for like a minute, but then it'd be like weird.
I think if we go back and forth.
Okay.
We'll see, Noah.
We'll see
how it goes.
I don't know why you're so dedicated to being on topic, though. I don't like being on topic.
I know. I just feel like, for once, we owe it to the spirits of WMFO to commit. Why are people so afraid of commitment? This is Lover by Taylor Swift. It's the remix featuring Shawn Mendes.
I freaking love it.
The song makes me cry. I'm so thankful for it.
I'm thankful for your tears.
Please enjoy.
Leave the Christmas lights up till January. This is our place, we make the rules. And there's a dazzling haze, a mysterious way about you, dear. Have I known you 20 seconds or 20 years?
We could light a bunch of candles and dance around the kitchen, baby. Pictures of when we were young would hang on the wall. And we'll sit on the stoop, I'll sing love songs to you when we're 80. See, I finally got you now, honey. I won't let you fall. Can I go? My story has always been you. I'd go down with the Titanic, it's true for you, lover.
And you'll say all you did is just for me. And at every table I'll say you see.
That song just makes me
lovely.
So fulfilled inside.
Yeah.
I know.
It's very Christmassy.
Yeah, I think they're kind of trying to make it this like a music video was released like yesterday.
And
it's just like,
really?
Well, it's just like a snow globe. And do you know the original Lover music video?
No.
It's like a house with a bunch of different colored rooms.
Yes,
and Taylor Swift is like,
they all represent a different phase.
Yeah.
Or a different album.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like a snow globe with the house in it, and it just kind of is, it's like a lyric video.
Oh, okay.
But people are like, we need the Taylor Swift Lover snow globe. So many of the comments
Wait,
are like,
what?
They have to make a snow globe. And I was
like a real
I'm like, who are you?
Oh my God, speaking of random products, I mean, listeners, something I am thankful for is y'all Disney Plus people and y'all Star Wars fans. I'm kind of neither, but the internet has broken with the image
Baby
of
Yoda.
Baby Yoda, who I am obsessed with. I am absolutely in love with this creature. And I was at a chapter meeting for a club I'm in, and we had to talk about what our ideal pet would be, and I was like, Baby Yoda. And this was like right before Baby Yoda got really big. This is when it was still a niche group
like,
of people.
What?
And everyone was like, what? Baby
Did you
what?
Show them? And
they
were like,
them and they
a
were
revelation.
Horrified. No, they were all like, that's so weird.
Did
and
you
now,
show them the one of him snuggled up or the one of him like standing?
Like, I don't know, but I love the one of him snuggled up.
It's so cute.
I love him so much. And then this week, this was like a week ago, this was last week, every day, someone from this group is like, why is Baby Yoda everywhere? And I'm like, because it's not just me. The internet has just fallen
decided.
In love. So, Baby Yoda, I am so thankful for your adorable little ginormous eyes. Oh, my God. And then I saw something that was like, imagine him speaking his little Baby Yoda sentences. Like, yummy, I will. Mommy, I hug. And I was like...
That's so adorable.
All I want. So, someone was like, one of the posts was like, y'all know Disney's like... Disney's churning out these Baby
toys
Yoda plush
for
toys
Christmas.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
And I say this, you know, if my family's listening, especially my brother. My brother and I have a tradition of, oh no, he's not listening, he's at work. But my brother and I have a tradition of getting each other like cute little plushies. And if there is a Baby Yoda plush toy, I formally request him to purchase one for me and to gift it.
I see. Hopefully your parents can translate
that
message.
Yeah, I hope my parents can transmit. Translate, Noah? Transmit.
Okay, okay.
You caught me with devalidate.
Fair,
now
fair.
We're even.
One
now
for
we're
one.
Even. One for one.
I
what
am
are you thankful?
Thankful for... I feel like I have to say my boyfriend.
Yes, you... That really, no, I didn't know that. You never talk about it.
Sorry, Mona. Sorry that I'm in a very happy relationship.
Sorry. How dare you flex your happiness?
I'm thankful for the ballroom dancing team here
Ooh,
at Tufts.
That's a good one.
We had a big sort of like welcoming the newbies event last night, and it was so fun. The theme was deodorant, and
Ooh.
Everybody had so much fun with it. It was so great.
That's so funny.
We had such a good time. So I'm thankful for all of them and for. Just that space. I feel like people are very...
Yeah, that's a good space.
It's such a wholesome space, and it's a great place, so I'm thankful for that.
Well, I'm also thankful for your boyfriend, because I actually really like your boyfriend, regardless of my slightly cynical comments. Jack is a gem, and I'm always happy to see him. I'm super thankful for my fam bam. I feel like with Thanksgiving is very family for me.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm excited to spend time with them. I was sad I didn't get to see my dad on his birthday. So I'm excited to see, because his birthday is always during Thanksgiving. So I just assumed it
would
like
be now.
Next week.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to celebrate with them. My grandma was here. That was really nice. I'm thankful that I got to see her because she lives far away. You know, I'm thankful for a lot.
I'm thankful this next week of school is only 2 days long.
You know, that's a really good way.
Manageable
of,
amount.
It's funny because I would say that for me is reframing, because I'm not thankful that we even have those 2 days. But I'm glad the
can't
reframe,
get too greedy, Mona.
The reframing is that it's only 2 days and we can do it. I'm thankful for this space with you.
I was just about to say, I am so thankful for WMFO and the fact that we're able to be here and put our thoughts into the void.
Into the void.
And,
into the void they go.
And I'm always thankful that I have this to look forward to on the weekends.
Yeah, I always have to drag myself here because I'm so tired. And then the minute I like settle down, I'm just like, ah, you know?
Yeah, it's just such a, there's just something so special
it's
about
such
it.
A night, yeah, it's a really great space with a really great soul.
I agree.
I wonder if Classic Rock Mike is here tonight.
We will see.
What's our close? Oh yes, we talked about our closing song.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I want to. Let's say it together.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Please enjoy the Thanksgiving theme from A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, a classic.
Have a thankful Thanksgiving.